That's what makes us tough. We keep a coming. We're the people that live. They can't wipe us out. They can't lick us.
The change has started, and the change in Detroit is real.
We're back!
Yeah!
Here, you can actually see what you do affect a great American city and its hopefully historical comeback.
Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. Hi, this is Paul W. Smith. We welcome some great people today. Olivia Gooderson, a multidisciplinary artist. Tony Hooligan, a visual artist. Justin Jacobs, owner, founder of Come Play Detroit. And Tony Michaels, the president and CEO of the Parade Company. And the Ford Fireworks back in Detroit big time on Monday. It's all about Opportunity Detroit, and it's all right now.
Detroit, Michigan.
On Opportunity Detroit, we're happy to welcome Tony Hooligan, a visual artist from the east side of Detroit. His creative journey began in 1997 when Tony learned that creativity was a family trait raised by a single mother who supported and nurtured the gifts given to her children. The lesson of doing what you're passionate about planted a fruitful seed. Moving forward to become an art school dropout, Tony relocated to Brooklyn, New York, and became a junior designer at Marc Ecko Art Direction and Design for internationally recognized album artwork for music artists such as Joey Badass and Big KRIT, held creative positions at global fashion brands such as Kith NYC. Moving to California, then back to Detroit, he began to create an array of commission artwork and community revitalization murals. And back here in Detroit and doing a nice job. Tony, nice to have you on Opportunity Detroit.
How you doing, man? I'm doing great.
I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Well, it's our pleasure, Tony. Tell us more about yourself and your background.
Well, like you said, I am from the east side of Detroit. I am a multidisciplinary artist. A lot of my focus is in painting and design. I actually started doing murals when I was in high school. My art teacher actually put us in a program that was called the Detroit Festival of Arts. It isn't existent anymore, but back then we used to draw on the sidewalk and create sidewalk murals with chalk. I think that kind of just catered my taste for creating artwork at a large scale, and from there I just kind of explored in different places and elevated that skill to where I am today by practicing.
Well, and getting around the country is always useful, especially for an artist looking for things to inspire them and move them into doing their work. In fact, after moving to Brooklyn, New York, and spending some time there, which is a fruitful and creative place, what brought you back to Detroit?
I've always looked at my journey outside of Detroit as a hero's dialogue, kind of like, you know, you leave the village, you go on this adventure, you gain these skills, these talents, you meet new people, experiences and things of that nature, and you kind of bring it back home to the village and eat from the table of resources and, you know, really just provide my community with things that they may not have been aware of or may not have seen before. But ultimately, for me, New York just got a little crowded. And being from Detroit, I'm surrounded by opportunity and space. And I felt a lot of that was, I felt a little claustrophobic, to say the least, as an artist. Like I said, I like to paint big, so there wasn't a lot of space that I could find in a place like New York. And then California just kind of was a beautiful destination, but I wasn't ready for it just yet. I think Detroit needed me more.
Well, I'll agree with you on that, and I'll thank you for that. Detroit did need you more, and we're glad that you're here, back home, so to speak. Tony Hooligan, a visual artist, heavily involved in Detroit's creative scene. Tony, how would you describe our creative scene in Detroit? What makes it different than other areas, if it indeed is different?
I would have to say the background of each individual. A lot of the trauma that Detroit has experienced has created a melting pot of people that have experienced things that some cities may not be aware of, just to say the least. I think that when it comes to Detroit's creative scene, it's very multifaceted, meaning that, you know, people come from all over the globe to come to Detroit to create, specifically. And I think it's because not only do we have space, but it's the people, it's the community, it's the longevity of knowing that when you create something here, it'll last. If anything, it'll make its own mark. And I think that's what people appreciate most about Detroit, is being able to make a mark here, however big or small.
And I think it's important to know, and I think you have felt this already, Tony, that your creative juices flow, and when you produce these works, they're met with open arms and an appreciative audience.
Yes, I agree. Thank you, Paul. I would have to say I love my community and I love my support system. You know, growing up as a kid drawing, you aren't always encouraged that art will be the way of life for you, or will be a sustainable way of life for you. And a lot of my support system, family, friends, colleagues, have just encouraged me to understand that what I'm doing has purpose. And within that purpose, I walk with truth.
That's a good way to put it. You're walking with truth. This year, your art is being displayed, Tony, on the Putt-Putt course at the Monroe Street Midway. Tell us about that.
It's exciting. I'm very excited to have a piece of artwork in the smack center of downtown Detroit, a place that I hold dear and true to my heart. I was actually a kid downtown when there was absolutely nothing or no one going on down there, and it was like a empty space. And now it's flourished with color, plants. It's thriving with people, walkability, traffic, and not only that. Through the process of being able to create that mural, a lot of my friends worked in some of the buildings. So it was a good opportunity to see some perspective from angles that I may not have been able to see just because it was on the ground. But I think that experience, if anything, taught me that, you know, everything is a process, but everything is kind of like a live painting as well, an entertainment piece, because people were actually hitting me about, you know, the process of seeing it develop over the days or the course of time that we were out there painting. And, you know, I don't always get to see a lot of people. A lot of people don't usually always get to see the process of mural creation. So I think that's a very unique approach for the community of Detroit and the city to be able to witness that.
What would make you decide, if this could ever happen, that you're at a point where you need to move on away from Detroit for further growth, or do you not see that happening?
Currently, right now, I plan to stay in the city that hopefully if I was to be taken away anywhere else, that those fruits or those seeds would bear for the community. Currently, we right now have a space in Islandview. And we're right now currently developing that space to be a space and a hub for us and the community to be able to create at the end of the day. And I think just being able to make space and hold space for artists is what's important. And that's what I'm here for. And if honestly, I wouldn't leave until that space is made.
Tony Hooligan with us, a visual artist. Do you have people that you're mentoring, people that you can pass on your skills to, Tony?
Yes. So within the Hooligan, our conglomerate of creative entrepreneurs, we have a youth program. It's called Leaders Amongst Leaders. That helps us to teach sustainability and financial literacy to students between the ages of 13 and 19. That program is actually being co-developed with the space as well, so that way we can run the programming within it. But our unit is, if not peer-to-peer mentoring, here to help intergenerationally. So my mentors and mentees extend from the youth to people that may be out of my generation or have, you know, 10 to 20 years on me. But we all learn from each other, and that's what's important, because I always feel like I'm a student.
You know, you help young people, others, with the opportunities and the understanding to develop their abilities with art, financial literacy, and sustainable creative entrepreneurship, meaning that you are also teaching these young people how to make a living, how to build their net worth, which is something that most all of us are interested in, but don't always have the ability to figure out how we can do that. This certainly helps them.
I agree. And I also believe that the younger you're introduced to something that you may have a passion or interest in, the more time you have to put your all into it. And with the mentees that we have taught or have encouraged to create a sustainable life for themselves, they've gone and done amazing things and developed and touched a lot of people and encouraged those people. It's kind of like a domino effect. You know, once you show somebody how to fish, they can show someone else how to fish.
Right.
And that's kind of the message behind that. But, you know, it's always important to bring it back home and understand that, you know, we're all here to help each other at the end of the day. And, you know, we can't make a living if we can't build community.
That's excellent thinking on that. And what's your next big project, or can you share a little of it with us?
I am under some non-disclosures, but I do have 2 basketball courts coming up, a mural festival, some coloring books, and some merchandise. So it'll be a fun summer, if not a fun year, for a lot of my supporters.
Excellent. And
myself.
And can we find you online?
Yes, I'm usually just on Instagram, visual platform. I got my website, but I'm honestly, if you see me in traffic, stop, have a conversation with me and chop it up. I'm always outside. I'm always riding my bike. I'm staying active.
Well, good for you. That's what we should all be doing in our own little areas, in our own little ways, staying active and creating and fulfilling our potential. And unfortunately, not enough people are doing that. And I think you're on the road to helping other people find their way and do it. Any last thoughts, Tony, before we let you go?
Love, peace, and happiness to everyone that's listening. You as well, Paul. Thank you for having me here. And I just encourage everybody to love themselves and love the things around them.
Love, peace, and happiness from Tony Hooligan. Thank you, Tony, so much for being with us on Opportunity Detroit as we continue on WJR. Next up on Opportunity Detroit is Justin Jacobs, owner, founder of Come Play Detroit. Justin is an experienced entrepreneur in the entertainment and community development space. He's focused on being a connector between public and private organizations by helping to develop a city that attracts and retains young talent and gives back to those that are working in grassroots initiatives. Justin, welcome back to Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Tell us about, well, for those who didn't hear us before, tell us about yourself and about your background.
Well, definitely happy to share. So I grew up in Metro Detroit, family, friends, played sports my entire life. Back in 2001 when I graduated, like many people back then, I was looking for opportunities outside of Detroit to live a dynamic lifestyle, went away to Chicago for 4 years. Loved it, had great experiences, but wanted to come back to where my family was back here in Detroit. Returned in 2006 and quickly realized that there was a lack of opportunities to play. In Chicago, they got 4 or 5 different companies that are called sport and social clubs. And I saw an opportunity for me to create that in the city. We started off with a basketball league and then kickball, volleyball, and now we have over a dozen different intramural sports leagues. And we've been able to partner up with corporations like Rocket Mortgage and Blue Cross and many other of the downtown businesses to engage their workforces and really make downtown fun again. We started back in 2010 officially and have just been blessed to be a part of the Live, Work, and Play initiative.
Well, that's good, and you take it rather literally. Let's talk about that. Again, more on the history of Come Play Detroit and when it was founded and how it was founded and how it was influenced by other attempts in other cities.
So when we moved into the city of Detroit, we saw that so many of these companies were trying to get their employees to come back downtown. So they were providing, it was a Live Downtown games that were a variety of activities for people to play. Dan Gilbert was providing subsidies for people to move into the city. But there was no one really creating consistent programming. So after work, it'd be fun things to do. So I reached out to Dan Gilbert directly. I was able to get his email from a mutual friend and basically kept it short and sweet and said, hey, you're providing jobs and subsidies for people to live in the city, but they're only going to live where they play. Otherwise, the city will just be a commute for work. So he immediately connected me with his VP of miscellaneous stuff, David Carroll. That's an actual job title.
I know.
And they quickly supported us. They provided subsidies for all their employees to participate in the leagues, 50% off, and they reimburse us. They promote us internally, and it really allowed us to develop a relationship with them to almost be an arm of their organization, creating the after-work opportunities for fun. And we started doing a bunch of different programming all over downtown and working with different companies. And then the timing was perfect for us because the city transitioned out of Belle Isle and the state took it over. Well, the state had never seen an island or a park like Belle Isle before, and they've never managed athletic complexes. So Belle Isle has a 36-acre athletic facility with baseball fields and soccer fields, tennis courts, basketball courts, handball and racquetball courts. So they put out an RFP to see if anyone would be interested in managing it and handling the day-to-day operations. And we put ourselves out there and were given the opportunity to manage it for 7 years. We were awarded a contract, and that really started our extension into the public-private partnerships. And in addition to just running our programs, we handled cutting the grass and cleaning the restrooms and all the different fundraising to fix up different areas of the facility. And that gave us the confidence to start going to other projects. And we were contacted in 2017 by the Rocket Community Fund about the Rocket Mortgage Sports Zone, which at the time were four pop-up basketball courts over in Cadillac Square and a sand volleyball court. And we handled staffing it and programming it. And really, the whole goal of it was to create a free space in downtown Detroit that made it welcoming to people from all over the neighborhood. There's so much going on in the city, but so many of the things cost a lot of money, whether it's parking for $20 or a nice restaurant, things like that. Well, this is completely free. And that was in 2017, and they've expanded that bigger and better than ever last year with the Monroe Midway, which has been a really exciting opportunity for us to be a part of.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that. Now that you're operating out of the Monroe Street to Midway for the summer, what else can you tell us about that?
This has become a hub for downtown Detroit, for all members of Metro Detroit, Southeast Michigan, to come and check out. There is, we have two basketball courts. We have a 9-hole putt-putt, both completely free. They have a roller rink hosted by the Rollercade, and that is a reservation only, and there is a rental fee for the skates. But everything else is free. They've got music in the park area, which I thought was a great addition this year. This is the second year of the Midway. They have a stage for music and DJs and live performances. And the whole goal of it is really to attract people downtown, show that there's things for everyone to participate in. Come Play Detroit specifically handles the putt-putt and the basketball courts. And we have a variety of great programmers coming out Wednesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. We have the Pistons Basketball Academy coming out, Detroit Chess Club, the Mint Artist Guild, Detroit Soccer District, all providing free programs throughout the week. And we welcome everyone, all ages, to come out and check it out themselves.
Well, I think if someone's planning on visiting the Midway, there might be some other things they should know beforehand that you can share.
Anyone who wants to come on down is welcome, of course, all ages, to help make things run smoother. We definitely recommend people checking out deckedoutdetroit.com. There's a full schedule of events there, as well as links to pre-sign the waivers. Everyone will need to sign a waiver to participate.
Sure.
Again, everything besides the roller rink is free. There's concessions and food trucks there. That there is a cost for food and beverages, but we have water vouchers for anyone who needs to stay hydrated out there after hours of playing. And just come and be ready to have fun.
It sounds great. Give me that email address again, or website, whichever. Give us that again.
Everyone can see this full schedule of events at deckedoutdetroit.com. That's where you'll be able to sign the online waiver, or you can see the entire schedule of events for the entire summer.
deckedoutdetroit.com. All about Come Play Detroit and the good work that our guest, Justin Jacobs, the owner and founder of Come Play Detroit, has put together for us. A real connector between public and private organizations, helping to develop a city that attracts and retains young talent and gives back to those that are working in grassroots initiatives. Well done. Keep up the good work and stay in touch with us again, Justin. We always like talking with you.
My pleasure. Thanks again for having us, and have a great day.
You do the same. Justin Jacobs, owner, founder. Come Play Detroit. All right here. It's all about Detroit and the opportunities all around us. It's Opportunity Detroit. The Parade Company and Ford Motor Company announced that the Ford fireworks will indeed return full force to Detroit to light up the sky on Monday, June 27th. Now, in its 64th year, this beloved summertime tradition is recognized as one of the country's largest and most magnificent fireworks displays, enjoyed by hundreds of thousands of spectators each year. And that's all because of the Wizard of Oz and Ooze, and that is the Parade Company CEO and President, Tony Michaels. Good morning, Tony.
Hello, Paul. I'll tell you, we're so excited to bring this back. You know, back where it belongs, right here on the Detroit River. Cannot wait. 2 weeks from today, if you can imagine that. June 27th.
Is that 2 weeks from today? My goodness gracious. It took a long time to get here, but man, is time passing by quickly, huh?
Think about it. June 27th? I mean, I hate to say it. Will the parade be here soon? But we, we are so excited.
One at a time, Tony. Know,
yeah, one at a time. But think about it. You know, Ford Motor Company with a brand new 3-year deal, including their float and the official vehicle of the parade. And here we are with the Ford fireworks. And, Paul, last week we held our second safety summit with over 100 law enforcement people, which we've done for 7 years, with Homeland, DPD, everybody there. And all the big events are doing this now. And, you know, because it's a team effort to make things safe and great for our wonderful city. So, we're just so excited to be able to do this. And I'll tell you, we can't thank Mark Hackle enough, if you think about it, the last 2 years, going out to Metro Beach and shooting them, you know, in the water last year, and how wonderful he was. But, you know, everyone wants it back in the city, and here we go.
And I got to believe Chief James White is probably a pleasure to work with as well.
Yeah, absolutely. His team, while last week at our meeting, they were just phenomenal, Everybody. It's such a collaboration of people. This is such a big event. And think about it, Paul. Not only do people come in the downtown area to watch the fireworks, but they're literally, you know, on their porches, you know, around the region, the city, you know, looking up and watching the show. So it just stretches. It's a very broad audience. And it's very hard to even count the people because, you know, people are driving out to roads where they can get a great view. So it's something that is so traditional, so great for our city. And it truly is one of the biggest in the nation. You know, we work with George Zambelli and his team, and he said this is the biggest show they do, which is quite a thing for our city. It really is.
Well, especially to hear that from George Zambelli, and the Zambellis, the first family of fireworks around the country and around the world. But I also hearken back to what Mary Culler has said, the president of the Ford Motor Company Fund. Quote, both the Ford fireworks and America's Thanksgiving Parade unite and celebrate people and communities across the city of Detroit. We are proud to extend our partnership with the parade company and continue our support of these cherished events. And, you know, it's because of the way you do things, Tony Michaels, and I know you get embarrassed when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, to have sponsors like Ford and like Gardner White make long-term commitments, not just say, well, we'll renew for another year, but long-term commitments is a real compliment to you and your team.
Well, thank you very much. I you know, we have such a great team, Paul. We really do. And we literally work within the posts of great. We say it all the time. If we can't do something great, you know, then we've got to find another way to do it. It's just the way it is. So I'm so proud of those relationships and our team. And we'll have Mary Culler, I'm sure, you know, on with you. We'll do it probably next week or so. And Mary has just been such a phenomenal partner of ours, you know, with the Ford family and so on. It just gives us, it gives us that special sauce, you know, to do things even better. And it's hard to explain sometimes, but when you have that type of confidence with these great sponsors and great people, it really makes us want to do a better job and thus, you know, really, really doing something great for the people of Detroit. They look forward to these things. Everybody looks forward to these things. And that's really important to our community. You know, it's that live, work, and play thing. And you've got Mayor Duggan just working so hard to bring our city back in so many ways. It's up to all of these great event people like a Rod Alberts and, you know, with the auto show and the Chevrolet Grand Prix and so on, you know, the Jazz Fest, all of these things, they make our city better. And it's up to yep. all of us to do them world class.
By the way, if you want more information about the Ford Fund, you can easily go to fordfund.org. And if you want more information about what's happening for the Ford Fireworks and the America's Thanksgiving Parade presented by Gardner White, so many other great events, go to theparade.org, theparade.org for more information. Are there any tables left at the big party?
Yeah, we have 7 tables left, Paul, with 2 weeks to go. 220 tables total. We have 7 left, and you just go to theparade.org. And we can sell those to you. They're $3,000 a table, 10 seats. And that's our big fundraiser, which we know.
Go for it. Go for it now, yeah. Or you're going to be left out. Thanks, Tony. We appreciate it. Finally, on Opportunity Detroit, we meet yet another multidisciplinary artist named Olivia Gooderson. Olivia, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. We're told you're a self-taught multidisciplinary artist living and working in Detroit. In 2020, you curated your first exhibition, The Space Between, at the Ann Arbor Art Center. Presently a resident at, is it Sybil Shrine?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Well, Sybil Shrine is a collective of 60 Black creative women. And it's phenomenal. I think creativity spans age, and so it's really nice to be part of this intergenerational community of women. But outside of that, I'm being mentored by MacArthur Binion, who has really invested in the black and brown artists in the city. And I'm really excited to announce that I'm actually got accepted to Cranbrook Academy of the Arts. I'll start there fall.
Good for
so
you.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm really excited to grow and expand.
Well, that's one of the finest places you could do what you're doing here. And your work has been shown at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Detroit, the Arab American National Museum, and more. That's got to make you feel great.
It really does. I feel really honored, and I think it really speaks to the nurturing community here in Detroit. My practice has mostly always been here, and so being able to be in community, work with community, get critique and feedback, and of course opportunities within my city has made it possible for me to be able to have this opportunity to continue.
I just love the fact, Olivia, that you never felt you had to leave Detroit to do this.
No, I think there sometimes feels like there are this narrative of being based out of Detroit, but I believe you can thrive here. I believe you can grow here. I don't think it needs to be a place just to be from. I think it could be a place to be in. And that's something that I want to model for myself, but also for my child and for other people. And so I think it's really important that we create opportunities of public art so people can see art outside of galleries and know that it's possible to be creative in so many different ways.
Absolutely. How would you describe your artistic style?
I think it's whimsy and kind of magical, and it's very meditative, and I think it's something that's kind of universal. I think with pattern, for me, it means something very specific, you know, it's my own kind of personal language. But I think through pattern, everyone can connect to it. I want it to be an offering always. I want it to be a moment for people to just pause and be present. And but my work is very, very intricate. And when I do projects within the community, I really love bringing in vibrant colors. And it's always for the children, I think.
Is that what you're thinking most of the time when you create the children?
For my public projects, I definitely do. I really think it's important to create spaces for children, and even like the children inside of us older people. But really, my practice is meditative. I really believe that through listening, we can learn where we come from in our own stories. On my mother's side, I'm African American. On my dad's side, I'm Ukrainian and Russian Jewish. And so there's a lot of disruption in my family narratives, but through listening, I've learned a lot. And so it's this meditative practice of listening and drawing. And through that, I learn a lot about my family and my history. And it's a way of archiving our story.
Well, it's excellent. It's a brilliant way to archive a family story and history. So I suspect that's what inspires you to create these pieces.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's so important. I think it's really important to share and to listen and to keep making. And yeah, it's, art is the only thing that's always ever made sense to me. So it's definitely a daily practice. And I think it's akin to people who love to run or to read or meditate or do yoga. I think it's the way of like pouring into myself so I can be more present in this world.
It sounds like you're very present in this world and that you've caught on to this at a very young age. And now your second year in a row having your art featured at the Monroe Street to Midway. Tell me about that. Let's introduce our WJR Opportunity Detroit listeners to that whole concept.
Yeah, I was blown away and so honored last year to be invited, and even more so this year. I think the idea of turning kind of this vacant space into a thriving hub of community is so important. So the Monroe Midway is a space within downtown city, like it's the heart of the city. It's filled with art and games and music and food, and it really is an invitation for the community to come together and play. And I'm so honored. Last year, I worked with the amazing poet Jessica Care Moore, and we were in charge of decorating like the barrier wall, and we really wanted it to not feel like a wall. We wanted it to be a portal and for it to kind of blend in, but also really stand out and be for the children. And so we put haikus and stuff. And this year I was given the space around all the floor games like hopscotch and Foursquare. It was really fun painting on the ground and doing these huge floral motifs and just bringing in really vibrant colors. And I'm so honored. I'm so glad that this space continues to be available for the community. I'm so glad that there's so many artists that are being given the opportunity to participate. I think it's so beautiful and so necessary. And yeah, I think also something that's so unique about that space is it's always so lively. And you see so many different types of people there. And it really does feel like this is what we can always be doing if we create opportunities for people.
Olivia Gutterson, a multidisciplinary artist, when did you know that this was going to be your life? This is what you were going to do?
I think I kind of always knew, but I didn't always know it was possible. I think through a lot of conversations with people and really learning how people in Detroit specifically made way for themselves. About 3 years ago, I started betting on myself and just spending as much time as possible creating, growing, learning, researching, and just making art. And yeah, it's definitely a long game, but it feels like I finally have a chance to be myself. And again, like opportunities like this are reaffirming that I'm on the right path.
So how does it feel to see something that you created exposed to so many people daily? Is that something you get used to, or something that gives you unlimited pleasure and joy every time it happens?
Oh, abundant pleasure and joy. Yeah, I think it still blows me away. I think even right now, I feel like I'm about to cry talking about it, because it feels like such a beautiful gift to me. You know, I really do feel honored. I really don't take it for granted. I don't think I'll ever not be just in awe that I get to be able to do things like this.
Is there a place we can see your work online? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, you can go to oliviagutterson.com. It's oliviagutterson.com. And if people want to ask questions or anything, like I definitely think it's important to be able to find mentors and things like that and connect. I think community is how we thrive, and I think art is really important for us to figure out how we collaborate and co-create community together.
Is there a medium that you especially appreciate or work in or lean towards, or are you just open to all whimsy, magical, meditative art of any kind?
Right now my focus is on painting. Sometimes I'll do pen and ink stuff, but I really want to focus on what is available when I just focus on my painting practice.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. It's good that you know what it is you especially enjoy and want to continue to create and do a good job as a self-taught multidisciplinary artist living and working in Detroit and continuing to grow, which is fabulous. I mean, having your work shown at the Museum of Contemporary Art, the Arab American National Museum, and more, it's got to make you feel good and feel like you're on the right track. What advice would you give other budding artists?
I think you just got to keep practicing. I think you really have to commit to yourself and set time aside to just do it every day. It's about tending to your creative side, and it requires daily commitment.
You get up and you work, which is not always easy to do.
No, it definitely is not, but it's so worth it. And there's so much that you learn about yourself. And yeah, I think we definitely need to make sure that we nurture more opportunities for people to be creative.
Well, good for you. We wish you good luck, and we'll keep an eye out for Olivia Gutterson, who is just doing a great job and happy to be going over to Cranbrook and doing what she's doing. And I feel great about the fact that she's doing it here and doesn't feel like in the old days when young people felt they were going to do something significant, they felt they had to leave Detroit to do that. And now people understand they don't need to do that. In fact, more and more people coming back to do significant things.
Yeah, I think Detroit is everything. I think we can do so much here. I don't think we have to look so far.
I think those are wise words. Thank you very much, Olivia. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. Our pleasure, Olivia Gutterson. And that's going to do it for the program today. We appreciate all of our guests who have brought their interesting insight to us, from Tony Hooligan, a visual artist, and Justin Jacobs, the owner and founder of Come Play Detroit. And closing out now with Olivia Gutterson, another multidisciplinary artist, talking about what she does. And they're all talking about living, working, and playing in Detroit. And we certainly appreciate that. Again, thank you for joining us on Opportunity Detroit. I look forward to being with you Monday through Friday mornings from 6 till 9 on WJR. In the meantime, until next time, I'll talk to you in the morning. Regards, Paul W. Smith.